Volstate Elevate can meet your organization's workforce training needs. Whether you're scaling a small business or managing a company of 3,000 employees, our mission is the same: to prepare your team for what's next. That's why Volstate offers tailored training options designed to fit the unique needs of your organization. From on-campus workshops to on-site training and online courses and certifications, Volstate adapts to your business culture, employee schedules, and learning preferences. Volstate's flexible and affordable programs are designed to maximize your training budget by making their educators an extension of your training team. Ensure employees aren't just prepared for today. They're ready for what's coming tomorrow. Schedule your free consultation today at volstate.edu/workforce.
Our body doesn't know the difference between being in a carpool lane late to pick up our kid and being charged by the daycare or being in trouble with the teacher or us being chased by a lion. It doesn't know the difference. It doesn't care. It's going to put you in that fight or flight, which just stops your digestion so that your energy can go to your arms and legs and you can fight.
Welcome to Better Together with Kosti Epifontsev, a podcast on parenting, business, and living life intentionally. We're here every week to bring you thoughtful conversation on making your own path to success, challenging the status quo, and finding all the ways we're better together. Here's your host, Kosti Epifontsev.
Hey, y'all, it's Kosti. Today, I'm here with my guest, Lisa Garcia, owner of Cleanse Wellness Spa, National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach, National Board Credentialed Colon Hydrotherapist, and a Certified Electrolymphatic Therapist from California Coastal Cleansing Institute in San Diego. Lisa, more than 80% of our immune system is in the gut. And when your gut isn't healthy, your immune system and hormones can't function properly. In your experience, what are the real-life consequences of having a poorly managed digestive system?
So, Kosti, I'm looking at so many different, a myriad of health issues, right? So nutritional deficiencies is a huge one. So it's not absorbing, your gut's not absorbing nutrients properly. And so that malabsorption is causing all kinds of problems because the essential vitamins and minerals and nutrients are not getting where they need to be. And so that causes fatigue, it causes a weakened immune system, which our immune system is, it's our number one fan is what it is. And it's supposed to keep us healthy. But with an imbalanced gut and nutritional deficiencies, we already have compromised food, right? So already our food is not nutritious. But when you eat anything, any vitamins and minerals have got to go where they need to be in your gut. And so that's one of the biggest things. So the weakened immune systems, the fatigue, and of course, it impairs growth of stem cells and other things in your body. That's a big one. Digestive disorders, they're huge. They're running rampant. Everyone has reflux, that gastrointestinal disorder, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. Mm-hmm. Almost all of my clients have some sort of IBS symptoms. There's inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, and that is very dangerous. It can cause leaky gut as well. So that's when the poisons are coming through, right? So the blood is not clean anymore because the mucosal membrane of the colon is not doing its job.
So is there a hole in the colon essentially that causes leaky gut? Like, I've always heard that term, but I've always wondered what it was.
It's not a hole. It's more like little tears.
Okay.
So our mucosal membrane in our colon is very, very thick, and it's got a thick layer of mucus that's supposed to protect us from all of the poisons and toxins because our colon is the most toxic place in our body. When our gut is compromised, that mucosal membrane can thin out and little tears can present themselves and toxins can escape into our bloodstream through the colon. And that's leaky gut. And that can cause a whole host of other problems.
Why do more people not know that a proper diet is going to affect their overall quality of life? Like, why do people just focus on exercise, myself being one of them, and not necessarily focusing on eating the right things?
I feel like people think that they can get away with it.
Okay.
And I feel like it used to be an 80-20 was, pretty okay. 80% of the time you're eating balanced meals. You're not shoving food down your throat without chewing properly. you're not eating right before you go to bed and snacking. People that are health conscious or people that want to feel better, they were doing those things. Mm-hmm. But people are so busy now, and the quality of food that they have at their fingertips is so compromised. And even organic things can't really be trusted to have a lot of organic ingredients, but only a portion. So I feel like more people are just thinking that they can get away with it. They're thinking, well, you know, I had a couple of salads this week. And they don't realize that all the animal products are so hard to digest. And I'm not saying that you can't digest them. I'm saying that it's harder to digest. Mm-hmm. A true carnivore has a digestive system from mouth to anus of 9 feet. And wow. Our small intestine by itself is 23 feet. Our colon 6 feet. It doesn't even count the esophagus. And so people are gulping their food down and expecting our body to do miracles. And our bodies are miraculous, but they can only do
And I'll
so
be
much.
Honest, I mean, the last few months especially, I've noticed myself getting tired. If I don't get all 8 hours of sleep, I'm exhausted. And I exercise daily. You know, I'm running a lot, usually about 6 miles a day. And I'm trying to do intermittent fasting. But because I've been so busy, I've been eating late, like sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, just because I'm so hungry and I need something in my stomach before I fall asleep. And I wake up the next day and I feel bad. So what happens when you eat late and then you go straight to bed?
So if you eat within 2 to 3 hours of going to bed, your digestion is slow. So it's supposed to be slow based on the rhythm of our bodies. In a perfect world, you should be asleep by 10 o'clock p.m. That's what your body is meant to do. So you shouldn't be eating past 6 or 7 because it goes into a rest and digest mode. And in that rest and digest mode, it's a repair mode. So if you fill your body with food and expect it to mitigate that food and digest that food, the same as in the middle of the day, it's not going to do that. So when you wake up, you're essentially still digesting food and you didn't get any repair work done at all.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So see, these are all things that I don't know because I think I'm doing everything right. I think I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. I think I'm working a lot. I think I'm exercising regularly. So, you know, I should be fit as a fiddle. But my body is still performing relatively well, you know? I mean, granted, I'm 34, so I'm sure it probably still has a little bit of runway. But what happens long-term if you don't follow those types of guidelines? You know, if you go to sleep super late, it's not just focusing on a diet, but just generally don't diet at all. What's your body going to do when you turn 65?
Way before 65, you're going to start getting low-level inflammation in your body, and your body is going to fight back. It's going to fight against itself. That's why so many people have autoimmune conditions right now, and there's a whole host of them. We have been told in our family from our grandparents that you're supposed to eat breakfast like a king and lunch like a queen and dinner like a poor person, and that's really true. So we should not be eating our heaviest meal. And we don't need 3 meals a day, by the way. I mean, our grandparents were eating 3 meals a day because that's what they were trained to do. But in reality, if you study the Blue Zones book, which is, you know, gut health was the number one thing that everybody had in common in that book. So from wherever they were from, whether they were Eskimos that had no vegetation and they only ate fish and seal or whatever they ate, in Italy, certain places in Italy, they would eat fish and some people wouldn't. They would just eat pasta and cheese. But based on their DNA and where they were from, the indigenous people, their gut health was perfect. And that's how they were so healthy for so many more years than we are. So it is not necessary for us to even eat close to 3 meals a day.
How many meals are you supposed to eat?
I believe it's really healthy to do a variation of intermittent fasting.
Okay.
It depends on what you're doing. So if you're doing an 18-hour fast, you could probably do lunch and a light dinner. If you're doing a 12-hour fast, you could do 3 meals that they should be small. Then there's the ADF fasting that I've talked about, which alternate day fasting, which is really great for fighting disease, inflammation in the body. It rejuvenates stem cells. 36-hour fasts are amazing as well. You know, a 36-hour fast is like the premium fasting. If you could do one of those a week, along with some different intermittent fasting, I feel like you would really supercharge your body because you're giving your body a chance to repair. It cannot be in a repair mode and digest food at the same time. Mm-hmm. It won't do that.
And it's like a car. If you drive your car 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute of every day, eventually that car is going to blow up. And our digestion is no different. So if we just keep feeding ourselves, you know, over and over and over again, it's going to have negative implications on our health.
It does. And actually putting that much strain on our body has been linked to so many things, dementia, any type of low level inflammation, like I said before, autoimmune diseases, obesity. Everyone is so sick. I mean, in a country where we have so much food at our disposal, people are eating nonstop 24 hours a day, gas station food, fast food. And we're really not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be giving our body a break. We're supposed to be eating like handful. Our stomach is like the size of our fist. So the fact that we sit down and we eat at Texas Roadhouse, first they're bringing us an appetizer of some fried onion. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, please no. And then I just ate with my daughter's in-laws recently and I was like, stop.
Oh yeah.
Stop eating.
For sure.
A fried onion, just big giant fried onion, and then a big fat piece of steak with loaded mashed potatoes with all kinds of pork products on those. And then of course they're drinking two glasses of sweet tea or Coke. And I'm like, your insulin, your pancreas.
Where did we learn this behavior though? I mean, my parents, they bought soda, but when I got older, I was just like, yeah, I don't think I should be drinking this much soda. It doesn't make me feel good. And I listened to my body. So, I'm assuming that people listen to how their body is doing, just generally on how they feel, and they make adjustments.
No, that's what you do because you're smart and you're health conscious. People actually do not do that. They come to me and they've got brain fog and fatigue and they don't feel good and they're gassy and they have no idea it's what they're eating. They have no idea that they don't understand it at all. And they're super smart people, but they're always eating on the go. They're never chewing their food. I mean, I'm doing colonics and I'm looking at whole pieces of food come out of people. I'm like, so you had tomatoes and kale. That's good. I can see a hot dog. It's like you can see these people, what they're
like
eating. Not a long hot dog, but chunks of food that should have been digested by the stomach,
wow,
which are not.
And if they don't get digested by the stomach, then the nutrients can't be absorbed?
Well, the stomach is responsible for chemical digestion.
Okay.
So there's a small amount of chemical digestion that goes on in the mouth. So you've got the proteins, you've got different enzymes in your mouth that breaks down fats and sugars. But then you're supposed to chew your food like 25 times and nobody's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the food passes.
Takes too long.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's in a hurry. The food passes down the esophagus. It's called a bolus. And then it goes into that chemical digestion of the stomach, which is chyme. And then it's put through the small intestine, which is 23 feet long. There's no bacteria in there. Its only job is to use the microvilli and absorb nutrients. Nothing is absorbed nutritionally in the stomach or in the colon. It's all done in the small intestine. So if you are gulping your food down whole and you've got low stomach acid, your pH is off. So a lot of people, when they get heartburn, they don't realize you have low stomach acid, not too much. Your body's not pH balanced properly, so it's pushing through things through the small intestine. And most of the things that people are eating these days have no nutritional value. I mean, like a McDonald's cheeseburger, like where's the nutrition in that?
What about there's popcorn? Nothing.
Popcorn is, it depends.
I it's kind of a go-to in our household. That's why I ask. And I've heard that popcorn doesn't have any nutritional value. It just has calories.
Well, it doesn't have nutritional value. It's an empty carb. And especially if it's a genetically modified popcorn that's microwaved in a microwave bag, which is so bad for your health. And people are just eating it. My husband and I, we fist fight over it. I'm like, get
dude,
that out
yeah.
of your hands. He's like, no, I love it. It's Butter Lovers. I said, you're going to use this kind that I bought at the Amish store. You know, the GMO,
yeah,
the
yeah.
non-GMO. And they won't. And I'm telling you something. I actually had a woman come in and get a colonic from me. And it was like her second or third colonic. And she called me in there. She was buzzing the buzzer. And I came in and she goes, look at all that corn. And I said, well, corn is a grain. It's got an outer shell. It doesn't really digest properly. She goes, no, I haven't had corn in 2 weeks since my daughter's baby shower. We had a Mexican corn salad and I haven't had corn at all. And she had already had three colonics with a ton of waste come out.
So what does that mean?
It just means that her food is not being properly digested or processed. The corn is probably stuck in the diverticuli, which is the little ridges inside the colon. And when that happens, then you're starting to get diverticulitis, diverticulosis, and other problems with your digestion that can cause major inflammatory bowel problems in your body.
What are some long-term diseases that come from not taking care of your body, not taking care of your gut?
Well, of course, we know about Crohn's disease and we know about
Hashimoto's. What is
Crohn's? So Crohn's disease is an inflammatory condition of the bowel, and it's when the bowel stays chronically inflamed. And it's actually really dangerous because an inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's or colitis, which is another thing, ulcerative colitis, it thins the wall of the colon. So you're more apt to need colon removal surgery so that you will have part of your colon removed where that inflammatory part is. And some people, I mean, I met a woman from Knoxville at 38 years old that their doctor, her GI doctor, wanted to put an ileostomy bag. So they were removing part of her ileum, which is the last part of the small intestine going into that part of the bowel, right? The beginning of the bowel. And they sent her to me to get empty because she had been on laxatives for her whole life and her colon would not empty on its own. And they couldn't do the surgery properly because they were afraid that she would die of sepsis. Because as soon as you rip that colon open and the waste goes into the bloodstream, it's over for you. I mean, you die, you can die very quickly. She would have rather have had that than give me a chance to revive her colon with like 12 colonics, even though I offered to give it to her at half price.
Why?
Because she wanted to believe in that medical procedure, that that would save her life. And she thought, well, I won't be constipated anymore. I can just poop in this bag. And
do you know what happened?
She never came in at all.
Okay.
We had a lot of phone conversations and she never came in at all.
So you don't know if she made it through the surgery or not?
I don't know.
I mean, you can't live. Can you live with half a colon?
You can live, but it's not going to be a good quality of life. And right. It's not going to be a full long life. It's not going to be
right.
Because it continues to breach. I mean, there are people that have had parts of their colon removed from colon cancer. Chris Wark, he's a big colon cancer survivor. He has a book and a coaching program called Chris Beat Cancer. He had stage 3 colon cancer at 26 years old, and he did have surgery to remove, I believe, part of the colon. But since then, he went on a vegan diet. He didn't do any type of chemotherapy or anything like that or radiation. And he is still surviving. I think it's almost 20 years later.
Wow.
And so he's got a coaching protocol for that. And a lot of people are finding that they're living longer because you can't do medical colon cancer treatment and expect to have a long-term lasting result without making dietary changes and lifestyle changes, including stress.
So with regards to colon cancer and stomach cancer, I mean, my father-in-law had cancer, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing this, but he had radiation and chemotherapy on his throat because he had throat cancer, and he lost his taste buds. Like, he can't taste food. So imagine getting to 72 years old and not being able to taste food. And the guy was a great cook, too. So what type of overarching impact does radiation and chemotherapy have when it's being beamed into your midsection?
Well, I'll tell you, people, after surviving such a huge ordeal, the trauma to the body of having part of your colon removed and then having chemotherapy and then having radiation, it is not a happy life after that. And they never are normal. They're never back to the way they were. And as far as your father-in-law goes, here's someone that is a cook. You said a good cook.
Yeah.
And part of our senses, part of the enjoyment of life, food is to be enjoyed. And like in our country, we eat it really fast and we're hogging it down. But in other countries, a meal will take 3 hours. I mean, they'll just be there together, and the socialization piece and just the community piece and the fellowship with their family or friends and the taste of the food is a huge deal. Like, they'll spend hours preparing a meal, and it's a whole big thing that they do to get all their senses satisfied, not just eating to be full and overly full. So your poor father-in-law now has lost that ability mm-hmm. to really taste some of his favorite things, all of his favorite things. It's just napalmed his body.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's still alive. In this country, when they ring the bell because you're cancer-free after they're doing, you know, cancer treatment on you, you're considered a cure if you can live after that bell is rung for 5 years. But if you die 5 years and a week later, they still considered you a cure, and they're going to check off that box that you got breast cancer and they cured you from breast cancer with this type of chemo and radiation. But you'll be dead in the 6 year, let's just say. They still cured you.
So we're talking about all the issues and the diseases that come from not taking care of your gut. So let's change course and talk about the flip side. How can we repair our gut and prevent these types of illnesses? And how does all of that work?
Well, I want to make sure that people know that it's not just a physical problem. A lot of mental problems happen because the gut is imbalanced, because of the gut-brain connection, the gut-brain axis. If things are not being properly absorbed, then we're not feeling great. And if we try to take a Prozac or a Zimbalta or something else to try to fix that, it's not going to fix it. So a lot of people are presenting with depression and especially anxiety. I have people that come to me and they're constipated and they're very anxious people, very anxious. And they've had anxiety disorders. And through a series of colonics for a couple of years, even, they're completely medicine free and they're happy and they're healthy. And because they're not constipated and they're moving their bowels properly and things are not in a dysbiosis state. Now, your question was, how can we take care of our guts? So number one, slow down when we're eating and be mindful of what you're eating and be mindful of what time of the day you're eating and don't eat in a stressed state. Because when you're in a stressed state, so I have people that come into me and they eat really well and they drink a lot of water and they exercise, but they're still having issues with their bloating or brain fog or constipation or whatever. And their problem is that they're coming in for a colonic and they're putting their laptop on their lap while they're doing their colonic. And there's lawyers. I mean, lawyers are the worst. I'm sorry to my clients that are lawyers. I'm not going to give your names, but I'm going to tell you, they just don't have the ability to turn off that fight or flight. So when we are in a stress place, our body doesn't know the difference between being in a carpool lane late to pick up our kid and being charged by the daycare or being in trouble with the teacher or us being chased by a lion. It doesn't know the difference. It doesn't care. It's going to put you in that fight or flight, which just stops your digestion so that your energy can go to your arms and legs and you can fight. I mean, that's what it thinks you're doing. You're running away. And so that's why intermittent fasting is so amazing as well, because it puts your body in a state of ease. It's not overworking.
One of the most intimidating parts of going back to college as a non-traditional student was trying to figure out which degree I was going to get, and more importantly, how I could actually use it. At Vol State Community College, they've taken the guesswork out of which degrees will actually help students prepare and land jobs in our community. With 5 specialized AAS programs, including Computer Information Technology, Mechatronics, Nursing, Business, Vol State has designed their courses around the jobs hiring in the Upper Cumberland. Whether you're looking for your next career or you just want to level up in your current field, Vol State has customized options for full-time workers, parents, and students of all ages. For more information on financial aid, classes, and how to enroll, visit volstate.edu.
I wake up every single day in a fight, and then I run outside. That's my flight. And I just do that so that I can get all of this energy out of my body. Because if I keep, like, I didn't run today because I had a busy day, and it doesn't feel the same. I don't feel as relaxed because I just have all this. You say not to eat in a stressed state. Well, I mean, like, when you're super busy, you know, you're just kind of stressed, you know, and when you said that, I was thinking to myself, okay, let's see, when am I going to eat today? I guess I'm not going to eat because I'm stressed all day.
and busy is the worst curse word anymore, because busy is what's keeping us from enjoying life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Eating fermented foods is a huge thing. If you can't eat yogurt because you can't eat dairy, then eat some sauerkraut. Make your own. You don't even have to have the processed stuff at the grocery store. It's super easy. It's like salt and cabbage and water.
Okay.
Or something like that. I mean, you can Google it.
Yeah.
So fermented foods like kefir, kombucha, sauerkraut, even pickles, that really helps the gut microbiome to reproduce, especially after any type of antibiotics. Take a good probiotic, but take a probiotic that, so you got to feed the probiotic, you got to feed the good bacteria what they want to eat so they can thrive. But I'm not really into the pill. You can get anything you need. I mean, a good probiotic is really great for people nowadays because everyone's eating on the run and everyone's eating a lot of dead food. And so their enzymes are low and there's all kinds of stuff with that. But if you're eating consciously, if you're eating purposely and stop eating too late, we talked about that, and keep your body hydrated, and also fiber. There's no fiber in a cheeseburger. There's none. That little piece of lettuce and that little slice of tomato is not going to do it for you. That's why in many countries, and even here, we're supposed to eat a salad first. Those are those natural enzymes that are kicking our bodies in to help us digest and break down that food. If we only eat the carnivore diet, where are we getting the, and I'm not saying it's a bad diet. Everyone's like, oh, I beat cancer with a carnivore diet. You probably did. That's great. but that's not for everybody. Remember, we talked about the blue zones.
Yeah.
So everyone's diet is not the same. You're from Russia. So if you've got a grandparent that lived to be 100 years old, what did they eat? What was their lifestyle like?
I mean, everybody that I can picture in my family that lived in Russia were very active because they couldn't afford a car.
There you go. That's important.
So they had to walk everywhere. Or if they took the train, it was like, you know, you get off at the stop and then you got to go walk a mile to wherever you're going. But that's in Germany too. That's all across Europe and Asia. And we ate a lot of salted food, preserved food. We ate a lot of salt, but nobody was taking like high blood pressure meds.
Yep.
And nobody was suffering from hypertension. I mean, not like significantly to the best of my knowledge. It's just like when we're talking about this, I'm trying to think in my mind like, okay, well, when am I going to be able to find time to be able to do this balanced diet the right way? So the only thing that I can assume from my vantage point is just fast. Just don't eat.
Fasting is very good, but when you refuel, make sure you have something good. Because here, like you were saying, the walking, right? Here, somebody will circle the Walmart parking lot for 20 minutes to get that close spot to the door.
Right.
Instead of just parking in the back and walking, it takes 2 minutes. And why would you want to shop at Walmart anyway? I mean, they do have an organic section. I'm kind of excited about that. I mean, yeah. I'm from California, so whenever I can get organic fruits and vegetables, I like the farmer's market here. They sell all year round.
Mm-hmm.
We have tower gardens growing in our downstairs, which are like hydroponic tower gardens. I have like so much kale. My family's like, I'm not eating all that kale. And I said, yes, you are. So we have to figure out ways to do it, being creative. You don't have to, you know, eat like a bird. Fasting is amazing, but you're going to want to keep your strength up because you do a lot of exercising,
sure.
Right? So
yeah.
Like we said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What can you put together for yourself? I mean, meal planning for someone that's not overeating can probably take a couple of hours on a weekend if you're really busy, maybe on a weeknight, maybe the kids can help you. Hey, let's look at some stuff online and see what can you help me with? You know, can you help me cut the vegetables? Can you help me make the stew or whatever it is? Having good food from your house that's sourced at home, that's whole food based and not with a bunch of preservatives. If it's got more than 5 ingredients in it and you can't pronounce it, I would keep it to that. With 80-20, I would keep it to that 20%. But if you walk around in a grocery store right now and you see what people have in their carts, it's no wonder all the kids are medicated and everyone is feeling lousy with brain fog and everything and weight gain.
So no more eating cereal for breakfast.
Cereal is like the worst.
Okay. Babe, did you hear that? No cereal for breakfast.
The worst is cereal. No more cereal. There's no protein in it, first of all. We need protein to keep our muscles up. And there could be some fiber, but I feel like it hits your body really quickly because it's a carb. It's a simple carb usually. I mean, I know they try to say that there's healthy cereals, but oatmeal.
Yeah. Oatmeal's good. Rolled oats.
That's a slow burning carb.
Yeah.
You can put some fruit inside of it.
Yeah.
Berries, low glycemic, you know, maybe put a little bit of flaxseed on the top. That'll help you move it through that colon.
So last question, and then we're going to move on to the treatments. We're going to move on to cleanse. If I was somebody listening to this show and I was like, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to start fasting and I'm going to start eating healthier so that my gut is healthier. And I'm going to lump myself in that category. Do you start by just like eating soup and bread? Or, I mean, what would you recommend would be a good way to have the most impact on the health of your gut through food, not necessarily anything else that we could implement today? What type of food would that be?
Well, it wouldn't be coffee first thing in the morning. I would be awake for at least an hour and a half before I had any coffee. And you might want to, after your hot shower, turn the cold water on and get that lymphatic system going, help process that coffee, because otherwise you're going to create a cortisol spike. And I would definitely would start out your breakfast with protein. So if you're going to be eating in the morning at all, I would probably wait till after 11 o'clock if you were going to eat. But if you can't, I would eat protein, eggs.
Okay.
Something like that. No, I don't necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to be bacon and eggs, but eggs with some vegetables in it, an omelet, a frittata, something like that. And if you have to be quick, a protein bar of some sort that's really sustainably sourced, right? A protein bar that has really clean ingredients in it is good. But don't just start out with that coffee because it's going to spike that cortisol right up and that starts you into that fight or flight for the day.
What if it's used for pre-workout?
Pre-workout. Well, pre-workout is great if you're trying. I mean, my son is all into pre-workout. Gosh, I have to pry it out of his hands.
But like instead of using the mix, just use coffee for pre-workout. Is that okay?
Coffee on an empty stomach when you first wake up in the morning is going to cause a cortisol response, which is going to eventually burn out your adrenals.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, put some MCT oil or something in that thing so that it can regulate some sort of little fat. And that's another thing. When you take vitamin D, certain vitamins, especially vitamin D, which is so important for your health, you got to take it with a fat. So don't take a vitamin D pill. I have one that I buy that's a vitamin D3K2 that I put under my tongue, and it's mixed with the MCT oil. And that's what it's supposed to be doing.
I mean, I feel like I need to just quit my job and focus completely on my nutrition.
You don't have to be that rash, but I mean, I think you're doing great, but I do think, like what you said, you're 34 years old, the age is on your side.
So let's just say somebody decides to do intermittent fasting, middle of the day, they have a big lunch and then they have a small dinner, right?
Mm-hmm. They can do that. They can do that, or they can have a big lunch and no dinner. Because that's called OMAD. The one meal a day is very advantageous as well, as long as you stop eating before 5.
Yeah.
6.
A good friend of mine who I work with, he has a client that we care for that lives in adult foster care. He's 103. He's eaten one meal a day.
That's right. The OMAD is amazing.
Yeah. One meal a day. And he says that a lot of people that, you know, are in the blue zones, I guess.
Yep.
They also just eat one meal a day, because we don't, I mean, at the end of the day, just imagine if you filled your car up every single day, you know what I'm saying? That just wouldn't make any sense.
We are sick because we're overeating. The food supply is awful. The water supply is awful. That's all true. But we're also gorging ourselves with way too much food. That one meal a day is a huge benefit to the body.
All right, let's talk about cleanse. We all want to look and feel our best. For women specifically, hormonal imbalances caused by the gut can be life-changing and body-altering. How can colon hydrotherapy reset the colon and your body, and what's involved in this procedure?
So I'll just say that I have a lot of women that come to me for weight loss, and they find it. But it's not fat that they're losing. They're losing waste that's stuck in their bodies. I mean, even the women that come to me and they say, oh, well, you know, I go to the restroom twice a day. And then they'll come in for a colonic, and by their second or third colonic, they're like, wow, like a Buick just came out of me. Like, I can't believe all the stuff that's going. And the more colonics you do in the beginning, the more stuff comes out. It's just the way it works. Stuff is caked on. And so as far as the hormones go, a lot of women are having hormone issues right now. And a lot of the PCOS and all the other stuff that's happening right now. And
what's PCOS?
It's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's where the women are.
Cysts on their ovaries.
Cysts on their ovaries. Yeah. Unexplained weight gain, low-level inflammation, autoimmune stuff happening to very young girls. So we're talking like 10, 12 years old, all the way up to like, it's childbearing years is what it is. And I won't even go on the rabbit hole for that. But I will tell you that it balances hormones in women just because the gut microbiome is able to re-regulate itself. And so when you re-regulate yourself, your whole body regulates, right? That's how it works. So if the center of health, I think Hippocrates was the one that said, like, the center of all disease is in the gut. So the center of all health would be in the gut too.
Yeah.
So I feel like women come into me and they want to lose weight. A lot of our clients were Navy SEALs in San Diego. They would come in to make weight. Or regular people in the military were coming in to make weight, and they would be doing intermittent fasting. They would be doing meal replacement shakes as well. And they would be doing colonics, and they do 2 a week over a 6 week period of time, and they would drop 25 pounds. But we want to do like the long haul, the long-term benefits of colonics, right? So especially for women, yeah, they're losing impaction, but they're also losing cravings for sugar, which I'm seeing. We have a big Ozempic and semaglutide. A lot of women that are taking that right now.
How's that going? Can we just stop right there and just park and tell me what your thoughts are on Ozempic and semaglutides?
I am usually a non-pharmaceutical kind of gal. That being said, the thought behind the semaglutide, it's a peptide shot, right? And so I feel like it's not all that bad. If you've got insulin resistance and other things going on with your body, I don't think it's like the worst that you can do. But part of the problem with it, and part of how colonics fits in with it, is that it slows down your digestion, which is why you're not eating as much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not eating as much and you're obese, or you have insulin resistant, or you have other things going on, it's really great for you to stop taking in so much food. But then you get constipated, and then you're feeling lousy because then your body is like at a snail's pace.
Right.
And so that natural peristalsis of the colon is not happening. It's not squeezing. Your colon's whole job is to squeeze liquid that comes from the small intestine after it's done absorbing all the nutrition and squeezing that liquid out and forming a stool. That's what our job is.
I've had friends who have been on the Ozempic Mounjaro shot, and they have terrible stomach issues. Terrible.
And that's because their body is in a slow motion digestion state.
So is it genetics that they are just not a good candidate for this shot? Or can they change their diet to be able to take the peptide shot and not have the stomach issue?
Barring food sensitivities to certain things on the Mediterranean diet, I would assume, based on everything that I've read, that Mediterranean diet is very healthy for people on the semaglutide. It's called the GLP-1 is what it is. And that encompasses the Ozempic and the Wegovy and Mounjaro and all that stuff. Mediterranean diet is very balanced. It's very advantageous for people on that. It helps because it's got a lot of fiber. It's a lot of fruits and vegetables and legumes. They're going to want to eat smaller portions, obviously, if you go into Greens First or wherever these places are that serve Mediterranean food in the area and you order 5 giant falafel plates. I mean, like, because here's the problem with people that are taking those shots too, is that they're not getting any type of health coaching or behavior or lifestyle changes. So they will overeat. I mean, in the beginning, yeah, they'll start losing the weight and everything, but they eventually will overeat because if you're eating for a reason other than hunger, then food is not the answer.
Right.
So that's just, I want to say that right off the bat, like that they will stuff themselves just like somebody that's had gastric bypass will stuff themselves.
And I think we've established that you don't need that much food.
You do not.
Yeah.
You do not. You need about 3 handfuls of food a day.
Wow.
And you will not be sick and you will not be starving. My grandparents were like, oh, you have to eat everything on your plate and these giant meals because they grew up in the Depression.
Sure.
And they were all afraid of starving to death.
Right.
For real. And I understand it. But when they're raising me as a little Portuguese girl and I'm so fat, I'm like a butterball. And I'm like, this can't be right. I'm eating the same amount as my grandfather. And like, oh, you're so cute. Are you hungry for your third breakfast? And it's like they're all happy because they can afford to feed me.
Right.
And
that's it right there. Because
it's a status symbol.
They have the money to be able. My grandparents were the exact same. When they came to America, all they did was just ask me if I wanted some food. And I was like, no, I'm not hungry. We just ate. And they were like, you sure you don't want anything else?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want anything else? And it was just like, it was their way of showing how much they loved me by feeding me.
Right. But the problem is that now we're running around and we're not, I mean, like how much exercise do the average teenager get? I mean, if they're into sports, okay, great. But a lot of the teenagers that I'm seeing have like these little purple circles under their eyes and they're just attached to their phones and they don't really want to do much. They're playing video games. And so it's one big giant recipe for disaster because we're supposed to be exercising and we're supposed to be spending time in the sun and we're supposed to be grounding, which is take your shoes off and walk across your grass in the bare feet. It takes inflammation out of our bodies, but instead people are sleeping with grounding mat. I mean, there's so much stuff going on with our health, but I feel like as far as women and weight loss go, yes, colonics are very helpful with that. And especially with the Mounjaro and all those shots, because it helps clean the colon. I have a woman that's coming to me right now and she's coming to me because it gives her energy. Because the colon absorbs water. And so just like an IV will give you energy, the colon is a great way to hydrate your body. It's arguably even better than an IV in some circumstances. So you leave very happy and very up. I mean, of course, if you have an impaction problem and you're having a really big, eventful colonic with me, right? Sometimes you might be tired. But that's a person that's tired after coming into me anxious. I'll take it. You want to be tired? You want to be relaxed? Okay, well, then that's how it's affecting you. But most people are very energized because it's very hydrating for their body.
How does it work? You know, like it's a G-rated show, but, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that somebody is it like a prostate exam?
Not at all. In fact, it's really private. So a colonic, we use FDA-regulated class 2 enema devices and our open colonic system. The insertion is so small, it's like the size of your pinky. You know, it's much smaller than a stool and it's not uncomfortable. So it's already set up when you come into the office. And so your room is set up, you come in, you get undressed, you have a clean gown, you're given a glove and you're given lubricant and you lubricate your body and the end of the little nozzle and you lay on the equipment and you do the insertion and you call me and I come in and you're completely covered and I give you a hot water ball and do a little bit of a belly massage and belly exam. And I turn the water on so slow. So anyone that's ever had an enema, that's like more of a hard squeeze,
right.
You know, and it's only a certain amount of liquid. So it only
goes up to the 4 to 7 inches of the large of the colon, and that's all there is because that's the rectum. And it'll maybe empty out the rectum and small amount of the sigmoid colon. But this is like 16 liters over a 45-minute period of time. Wow. So it's warm water. It's micron filtered for the city water. It's got UV lighting for microorganisms. It's got temperature control and backflow prevention and flow control. It can't blow your colon. We vet you to make sure that you are a candidate that's safe.
Right.
We keep it to 45 minutes because you're getting so much water and it's so great for you, but you've got to process that for your kidneys. So if you're somebody with renal insufficiencies, you're not a candidate for colon hydrotherapy. But it's very private, and I put the water on very slow and low, and you just hold yourself closed, like as if you were holding an enema in. And it's 30 seconds or a minute, 2 minutes, depends on the person. And when you feel full, you simply release the waters if you're having a bowel movement. The insertion stays in you the whole time because it's in you based on your proximity to it, and you see the water and waste come out, and you're watching it all unfold.
Wow.
So a lot of young people are seeing this on TikTok, and because, you know, they don't care that Mae West did it, right? Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm going to do it.
I'm telling you, it's people end up loving it. And Leonardo DiCaprio and Kim Kardashian, and we talked about, you know, other people that are in the public eye. They want to extend their lives. But Mae West did colonics all the time. Princess Diana was big into colonics. So, I mean, these are people that want to extend their life and they want to not have things sitting in their body for too long.
How'd you get into this? I mean, like, I know that you weren't growing up thinking, I know what I'm going to do when I grow up. So, I mean, how did it happen?
I was a legal assistant for a long time.
Okay.
And I was around a lot of lawyers, and I was going to be a lawyer until I realized that everyone goes to the noon meeting at lunchtime, and that's an AA meeting. And I'm like, why is everybody so stressed out and angry and smoking cigarettes at their desks when they're not supposed to be smoking in here? And why is everybody and their third wife and their kids are all sad? And so I decided not to be a lawyer, because for me, I wanted to be a trial lawyer. So I stopped doing the legal secretary, legal assistant stuff, and I started trying to do some self-care. And colonics was something that I wanted to try because I was going to go on a cruise, and they had some Groupon that said, lose 10 pounds in a month or whatever it is. And so I did it, and I fell in love with colonics. And so as I became more health conscious, I became a health coach first. And I was like, well, this is a part of it. My mom has lupus and other autoimmune conditions, stuff going on, and colon cancer was running rampant. And I just ran into that Chris Wark person and, you know, online. And I just really believed the more I learned about health and the gut, the more I realized that that was really where it was. And so I just wanted to do it. I wanted to do a whole new career change. And that's what I'm doing. I love it. I love it so much. It doesn't gross me out at all. I'll stare right at your poop and be like, hey, there it goes. And people are like, I can't believe you do this for a living. And I said, believe it.
Well, I mean, so let's give some advice. When it comes to anything related to the colon, rectum, or butt, in general, people can feel a bit skittish, no pun intended. For anyone that's feeling anxiety about how the insertion or the evacuation process works, smells, or feels, what's your advice?
My advice is to come in and try it. At least call me and book a free consultation to come in. We have these discovery sessions that are 30 minutes long. I'll show you the whole spa. We'll go through everything. There are fans and apparatuses on the equipment that suck the odor out of the air. The rooms stay very clean. They have CDC, FDA regulated cleaners that I use, and they're very private. So that's the thing I was telling Morgan, you know, one third of my clients are men, and men that are in your position are not the ones that are embarrassed. Okay. They love it. They're like, we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
But the older gentlemen that park at the Aldi's parking lot and walk across the street, I'm like, here's my guy. He's like Frogger. He's trying to like run and not get hit by the car. Or the guy that parks by Dr. Todd at the end of our complex, you know, they tell me, look, we believe this, you know, saved our life. We feel so much better. I can't give you a review, but I'll give you a word of mouth referral. And I said, that's totally fine.
Sure.
They could just say, hey, I tried the services and I feel so much better. But if they start getting into, I was bloated or I was this, or then people are going to know what they're doing. And there's just a real stigma, especially in the South here. So in California, if you're one of my clients in California and you have $150 extra in your week, you're not going to get your eyebrows done or your eyelashes done before a colonic.
Wow.
You're just not.
Yeah.
That's not what they do.
All around the world, people do enemas and colonics and all that stuff.
And that's how they're staying healthy. And that's a big part of alternative treatment for cancer and other diseases, other inflammatory diseases. I have a lot of people that come into me, they're inflamed from tick diseases. So the alpha-gal, the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, the Lyme disease, I have a naturopath that's sending me people from Franklin or Brentwood or something. And she believes, I mean, I just had a woman came in today. She had melanoma and she decided to not go the traditional route. She's seeing this naturopath who's like some sort of a chemist. She's amazing. Her name's Tamara. And she sent me this woman. And she said, the woman told me today, she goes, I did the 3 colonics. I'm going to do 3 more. And she said that she believes the colon hydrotherapy is a big part of how my numbers have gone way, way into range like they're supposed to be. So that's a huge deal for me to hear that.
So your office is where?
420 South Low Avenue in Cookeville. So that's behind the Absolute Fitness and the Aldi's.
Yeah, yeah. It's by Bubba Gandy's.
It's further down towards the big R on the same side of the street as Bubba Gandy's. Right.
Nice, nice. So how many of your clients are like locals? Are they primarily local people or do you get them from across the state, across the country, region?
I get them from Kentucky and Georgia. I get a lot of Knoxville people. As a matter of fact, I have a lot. I have a good Cookeville following. And Upper Cumberland following, but the place in Knoxville went out of business in 2020 or retired or something. So they were all going to Chattanooga, but now they're choosing me because of my reviews, because I have so many reviews. I have like, and they're all 5-star.
That's
probably
great.
Between Facebook, Yelp, and Google, I think I have almost 100, which is crazy because I've had over 500 clients, but I'll have a lot of Knoxvillians are, they keep bugging me to open up there. They're like, you should open up there. It's so much bigger and you'll be rolling in the dough. Every time I come in here, it's quiet. It's quiet because it's a new business.
Sure.
And it's a new concept.
Right.
I have all the faith in the world that people in Cookeville and the surrounding counties are going to catch on. But I do have a lot of transplants too that come in.
Yeah. And so this business opened in 2022.
It opened November, the first part of November 2022. Okay, so it's still new.
Yeah, it's very new. I'm assuming, just from this conversation, that there's not a lot of offices that perform this type of work. I mean, in the state of Tennessee, how many people do these colonics?
Well, I'm not sure how many do them in the state of Tennessee, but I know that there's only 6 of us that are IAC certified.
Wow.
That are actually certified, because there's no licensing and regulations for this. Just because there's no regulations for it doesn't mean you shouldn't be certified, because you're dealing with people's health. And when you're certified, you can do things like get malpractice insurance like I have, or, you know, for like $189 a year. Like that's all I pay for $3 million in coverage, because it's so safe when you know what you're doing. I know that I'm the only one doing open colonics in the Upper Cumberland for sure. And I know that I'm getting a lot of that Knoxville traffic coming down to me. So there aren't too many of us that are certified. There's a Chattanooga, there's a few in Franklin. Now, Franklin has some amazing colon hydrotherapists over there as well. I had a woman come to me today from her. She referred the woman to me because she's only doing packages. And she's like $250 a colonic or something. So it's a lot different in price,
How much is a colonic?
For me, a single open colonic is $125.
Nice.
You can buy 2 for $200. I have all kinds of specials and I have all kinds of memberships that people do. So I do a lot of other things there too. So the electrolymphatic drainage, I do that as well, which is great before a colonic because you can see the lymph come out in the colonic. And then I do far infrared sauna. Everything I do is to take toxins out and lower inflammation in your body. That's everything I do.
So some of the things that you're saying, when I listen to Joe Rogan, he talks a lot about like grounding yourself and all that stuff. I have red light therapy. So I bought this Juve panel that I put on my wall and I stand in front of it for 5 minutes a day on each side before I go to bed.
It's great for lowering inflammation in the body for sure.
Yeah.
And for us, we don't have a red light panel, but we have a far infrared sauna, which is like, it heats your body from the inside out like a baby's incubator.
Right.
So it lowers inflammation that way, blood pressure and stuff. And we have a red light therapy going on at the same time.
Nice.
But that Juve therapy is an excellent product.
Yeah, for sure. By this point in the episode, there might be a few people that are feeling skeptical or thinking that the body heals itself naturally and there's no need to get in there and mess with the flow. What's your message to anyone that's thinking this?
We are not living in our grandmother's earth anymore. So we were absolutely created to fix ourselves. Our bodies are amazing, but our bodies are not filled anymore with natural substances. So if you are living a natural life and you are not drinking the tap water and you're not drinking sweet tea and you're not breathing the air with the chemtrails and all the other stuff they've got going on here, and you're living a life where you're taking time to breathe and meditate, then absolutely your body is going to be regular and it's going to heal itself. But we have a lot of toxins coming our way that are engineered in lab, and our bodies, we're not meant to break that down. a genetically modified seed, if you genetically modified a human, it wouldn't be a human mm-hmm. anymore, like it was supposed to be. So when you eat an ear of corn and it's genetically modified, it looks and smells and tastes like corn, it's not corn. So we're just giving our bodies a little bit of help in getting rid of chemicals from hair products, from nail product. I mean, everything has a chemical in it. So when you're spraying your hair with hairspray in the morning, you're ingesting all that. Everything gets passed through the colon. Everything gets passed through the liver, for sure. And we unburden the liver when we help with a colonic, because our livers have over 500 functions. It's the hardest working organ in our body. And the colon is tied directly into the liver. That's why a lot of people do coffee enemas. They like to release liver bile. They like to help the liver to be a healthier organ. Everybody has non-alcoholic fatty liver, it seems. Our livers are just overtaxed and overburdened. So yes, we can assume that our bodies are created to function in a healthy way by themselves, but that's not the world we're in. Our babies are born with like 200 and something thousand chemicals in their umbilical cords. And jeez. That's on, you can look that up online as well. It's craziness. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Too much for us to mitigate. So I'm not saying you'll die without a colonic. I'm just saying that why not feel your best?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So with regards to feeling your best, what does that look like for the daily person when they get a colonic?
Well, I have one lady that comes in and she says to me, she comes in every other week and she says, you know how I know it's time for my colonic? Because I can't think straight. So it really helps her with brain fog. So not everyone comes in there because they're constipated or they have IBS symptoms. A lot of people come in there because it's just a way to get rid of the stress in their bodies, get rid of anything that might be stuck in there, the brain fog, the fatigue, the bloating, the gas. And a lot of it is not just from eating too fast. A lot of it's from what you're eating, how you're eating it, how late you're eating it, and you're not giving your body time to process it. So they're just coming in there to unplug and to give their bodies that little bit of extra energy. Like I told you, the woman that came in today, she comes in because she has so much energy after her colonics. So everyone comes in for a different reason, but I feel like what I mainly hear from people is they've lost bloat. They don't feel bloated and they don't feel fatigued. And the brain fog is a huge one.
I mean, Morgan and I are going to go do it.
I would love that.
And you said you have to take 3 days in a row, or you have to take 3 days out of the schedule?
No. We have packages of three that we recommend. So we're not supposed to recommend because we're not doctors. But if you're trying to come in there and you're trying to do a reset, there would be a minimum of three. In California, they would tell you 12. But here, they'll look at you like you're crazy. So I'm going to say three. Can you just do three? And we like to do maybe a Monday, Tuesday, or a Monday, Wednesday, because we want to capitalize on the hydration that we've given you. People almost always tell me they see more action. They see more come out in the second or third colonic than they do the first one. But people come in on their lunch hours. So you can come in at 10 o'clock in the morning and be out of there by 10:45 and you're on your way. It's not like, you know, you're down for the count for the whole day. People come in because it makes them feel better. There's no like downtime for this. It's like if you went in for an IV therapy, you know, Myers cocktail or whatever they call and you leave and you go on your way. I like to ask that they will do a minimum of 3 to 6 colonics, just because I feel like it's going to help their health and I'm going to get a great review and people are going to trust me to help other people, because
absolutely,
the reviews are everything for me.
Right.
Because that's what makes people trust what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always like to end the show on a high note. Who is someone that makes you better when you're together?
I would definitely say my husband, my unsung hero. My husband is tall and quiet, and he built that spa from the ground up. I mean, that used to be Spin City Studio. So when I walked in there, there was black foam on the floor and there was no walls. And him and his best friend, who moved from California as well, they came and they really put their heart into that place. And so my husband, Ruben Garcia, I love him very much. And he moved here because I wanted to. And he comes with me everywhere. He's a good sport. I drag him to the Cookeville lifestyle parties and I drag him, you know, to everything I go to for the chamber. And you know, he's going out with to dinner with me and a client. And so he is somebody that really makes me better. He has nothing but patience for me. I sunk my life savings into this build and he didn't even bat an eye. He has so much confidence in me. And he's always saying, like, I had a billboard by Vertical Coffee for a while. And he took a video of it and sent it to our kids in the family chat. He goes, there's my wife. There's your mom. So I just want to thank him. He definitely makes me better.
Thank you to our partners at Vol State Community College for presenting this episode. Vol State is a public comprehensive community college offering associate's degrees and certificates, as well as general education classes. With tuition-free options like Tennessee Promise and Tennessee Reconnect, students can pursue a variety of associate's degrees and certificates at no cost. To enroll for the spring 2024 semester, find out more about financial aid, or schedule a tour, visit volstate.edu.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Better Together with Kostya Yepifontsev. If you've enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, or better yet, share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin. Post-production, mixing, and editing by Mike Franklin. Want to know more about Kostya? Visit us at kostyayepifontsev.com. We're better together. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views and opinions expressed during this episode are those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily represent or reflect the official policy or position of this show, its producers, or any related entities or advertisers. While our discussions may touch on various topics of interest, please note that the content is intended to inspire thought-provoking dialogue and should not be used for a substitute for professional advice. Specifically, nothing heard on this podcast should be construed as financial, legal, medical, or any other kind of professional advice. We encourage our listeners to consult with a professional in these areas for guidance tailored to their specific circumstances.